We have many verses in the Bible besides the one that I used this morning to cite the fact that the Word of God is meant to guide us and to direct us to the right ways of thinking and doing in this world in which we live. For God gave us His Word. Our Lord Jesus spoke regarding that. In Matthew chapter 24, in reference to that, He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass." The fact that the Word of God is going to guide us and judge us in the last day, Jesus further stated in John 12 at 48, "The word I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day." So it is that we need to know the Word of God and follow the Word of God in our daily walk of life, and that was the emphasis being given. Back in Psalms 119, verse 105, you remember the passage well. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway." Goes on to say in Psalms 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth me light." I can see my path. I can see where I'm going. I can understand that that's danger up ahead. I need to guard myself. And as the wise man wrote regarding this matter in the book of Proverbs in chapter 27, he noted that the wise man foreseeth danger and guardeth himself. So it is that we would begin to guard ourselves and we would begin to pray more earnestly to the Lord and more dedicated to His Word that taught for us not to go down that path and do those deeds so that we'll be pleasing in the sight of God. Now tonight, this second part of this lesson study is a part that will help an awful lot of people. Perhaps those that are listening by way of the internet site will benefit greatly by this because they live in various places of the world in which there are those who challenge the Word of God being a directive for us because they do not believe that the Bible came from God. Why do they not believe the Bible came from God? There's a variety of reasons why they are offered to us. And I, through the years, have been around some college areas so that our young people leaving home, leaving the local congregation, and going to serve their careers and work, whether they were into law or into accounting or into some other pharmacy or in some other way, teachers. With that, they would make statements regarding the Old Testament of the Bible. It couldn't possibly be the case that there was a flood, a worldwide flood. And yet, science and their science classes, if they studied it enough, they would see that what is said there is that there are crustaceans that are found on the range of high, high mountains. There's no explanation for shrimp and crab and others to be there. Accepting an explanation that is more simple than anything is that a flood raise the water level and lays those critters there, and in receding left them lodged on those ledges in the mountain ranges. What other explanation can be given in regard to it that is as simple as the idea of a flood? In a moment I'll mention in more in regard to that matter, because our Lord believed there was a flood and He talked about it. But now let's go on with the idea that the criticism would come that the Old Testament of the Bible would not be from God. They would tell us such things as the young man came and he was saying that there were terrible things in the Old Testament of the Bible. In the days of Elijah, in the days of those prophets of God, where the little children came out and was mocking him, they were struck dead by the Lord. This person took that to be a serious offense that God had made against those little children, because they were innocent of that. They were saying what they were saying, doing what they were doing. My reply to him was a reply that I had thought about and had made to others. And he said, "Never heard that, never heard that at all. It seems that it does answer what I've said. That wasn't answered by any others." I mentioned to him that little children are by Jesus cited to be innocent. He said, unless you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Thus it was in that case that he's saying to them, you don't become little sinners and enter the kingdom of heaven. You become pure. You become forgiven. You become innocent. If you become like a little child, you're innocent. Here was a time back there when they were in days of idolatry. Could it be the case that God took their lives before they reached up to the age in which they were accountable for their actions and accountable for rejecting God and bowing before those idols and getting themselves into a land of condemnation? Maybe it's the case that the Lord was taking them on to be with Him. In spite of what their parents and grandparents were doing in the worship of these idols, maybe it was the case. Do you have another explanation along the way? And to that he replied, I never heard such a thing as that. I didn't know that Jesus said that about little children. Become like these little children, or you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Another criticism of the Old Testament, the Bible, and New is the fact that they say to us, it couldn't have happened in those years. As those years came and went, there was a change of various governments. And as a result of those governments that came to change, there came about the government of the Grecian government, the Greeks. He wanted all things to be translated into the Greek language. And it was pretty much done so in his day. But historians tell us in this regard of certain years and times with which the historians now would disagree. And they'll say that that didn't come about until a certain time. And what happened was that it had already taken place, and thus the prophets, the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament, were made after the events took place. So they were written down as though they were to take place when in fact they had already taken place. Well, historians can go back and find out the various years in which the Septuagint Greek translation of the Old Testament occurred. Some will go back as far as 600 and B.C. All of them will go back at least to 300 B.C. The prophecies that are given by various ones in the Old Testament Bible about the coming of the Lord and so forth are prophecies that are noted before they ever occurred. How did Micah 5 at verse 2, know about Bethlehem and predict of life the least among the thousands of Judah? Out of thee shall he come forth who have been from old, even from everlasting. A reference to the Lord himself coming to bear there in Bethlehem as the time would come. There are those who would object to that. Yet the prediction was made many, many centuries in advance of Jesus arriving at Bethlehem, as it was noted, and doing the work that he did. I want to suggest that every criticism that is offered, whether it is of the crustaceans that are on the mountainsides and the denying of the flood, or the mannerisms of the prophets and what they said in regard to the Word of God in reference to their way of teaching and the period of time in which they did, have a plausible answer and solution by any that are thinking objectively. As we think objectively too, there are some other things. Number two in our lesson study tonight, and that is Jesus lived. He came in Bethlehem and he lived among people and he taught. In the midst of his teaching, he mentions things like in Matthew 15:9, in vain do you worship me when you teach for doctrine the commandments of men, and cites Isaiah the prophet. In reference to Isaiah, did he believe Isaiah lived? Historians will tell us 750 years before Christ. Yet he cites Isaiah and speaking in regard to this situation. Further, in Matthew 24, Jesus plainly noted, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." He says, "In the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. They knew it not till the flood came and took them all away. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour in which the Lord will come." Did he believe there was a Noah? He said he did. Did he believe there was a flood in that day and time? He said there was. If we would believe in Jesus and trust in him in any regard, how could we deny the basic things that he said regarding the prophet Isaiah and regarding Noah and his time of the flood, which is even that many years more beyond the days of Isaiah? Furthermore, in this regard, Jeremiah is one of the prophets loved and honored by the Jewish people. The ideals of Jeremiah are explaining that new covenant that will come. A new covenant that is cited in Matthew in reference to the coming of the Word of God, and in Acts chapter 2 in reference to the arrival by the Holy Spirit guiding them into that truth. The truth of the matter is that they would see and hear the message that God would say would be for the heart of the individual. When God worked through that Old Testament of the Bible and worked with all the various scenes and observations and had an element of faith in the hearts of people who were obedient to him, he was working toward a day when that would be an article of faith in the parts of you and me as we come to believe in Jesus, who is not any longer with us but is above. But we trust the words that he said. We trust the teaching that he gave us. And we can establish what he said by our own lifestyle. We can practice the way that Jesus taught us to talk to people and to explain things to people and go on in life. And know that those things are successful ways of doing it. We thank the Lord for his presence and his work on this earth. But then there's a third area. And it's an area that, frankly, brethren, I do not have an answer for. I don't have an answer for members of the church that do this, and I don't have an answer for those outside and not obedient to the gospel yet that do the same thing. Reading with understanding. So important for us to read God's word, and the meaning of that basically is with understanding. But I'm separating it tonight for this purpose of saying, reading for the purpose of understanding takes what Paul addressed Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is the case that the Lord wanted through Paul the people to be taught to be people who would observe their study habits. Study habits among members of the church in so many places is the same as study habits among those outside the body of Christ. There's not much time given to it. Not much thought given to what's said there. A dictionary that would be at hand if we were doing a critical paper of some kind for the work that we're doing would never be at hand with us, a Bible dictionary, to tell us the meaning of words and the ideas of those words when we read with understanding the Bible. People ask me over and over again about what Bible would you recommend, what version of Bible would you recommend? And my answer has been what I started to say many, many years ago. I don't know exactly how many years. I'm sure it's over 20 years ago now. I recommend for individuals to read from a parallel column Bible. Read one that has the King James Version there, but aside it has the American Standard Version, 1901. It has the New English Version. It has the English Standard Version. It has the Today's Modern Man. That is a good reading, though it's many times has something different. When those things are read there in unison one with another, before we leave a verse of Scripture, and there is something dramatically different in this particular translation, so said, would that not give me a hint as to looking that word up? I want to see what that really means. I want to see what that really says in that verse of Scripture. And then making the application of it to the work that we're doing here in learning God's Word, God's truth. I want to suggest to you and me that that's the way in which we ought to do it. And although there are good benefits to a Bible like the King James Version, for example, and more people in our generation possibly will be entering into heaven because of their understanding that came from that, but their awareness of the Scripture and the teaching of God is set forth by way of the context in which things are stated. As we read that context this morning, we noted in Acts chapter 2, how were these people saved from their sins and added by the Lord to His church? Were they saved before they repented and were baptized? Or were they saved as they repented and were baptized and had the remission of their sins? And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Saul of Tarsus in Acts 22:16. Was he praying through to the Lord of heaven? And thereby the gospel preacher Ananias was praising him for what he was saying and what he was doing? Or was Ananias there saying to him, you've been doing this long enough, why tarriest thou? Arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins. You call on the name of the Lord in that process of doing that. This man understood that it was at that time of baptism that he began to walk in newness of life and wrote about it with the brethren at Rome in Romans chapter 6. Use the plural pronoun we and us and our as he described when we were baptized into his death, we were raised to walk in newness of life. Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not be enslaved unto sin. When we read those words and those teachings, we get an understanding of what it means to be saved from sin. Now, what did the Lord do with those who were saved from sin? Did He just save them from sin and say, wonderful it is to have you saved from sin? Or did He add them to His church day by day as they were being saved and others were being saved from sin? Acts 2:47 says it plainly. So we would follow God's word and teaching and practice that way. We can believe what was said in the Old Testament of the Bible. We can believe it because it's accurately cited, protected, carried through the years. We can believe it because Jesus cited those individuals and said they lived in the time in which they said they lived and experienced the challenges that they did. Yet they were faithful to God's way, and He tells people to be faithful to the teaching that I now give you because I came from the Heavenly Father. The beautiful explanation given by Jesus in John 12:49 says, for the word that I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me these commandments that I deliver to you. Don't we love the word of God, and that's the way of life for us to follow? And when errors come in, they can be explained. And as we go along the way of using that question method with what they understand and what they've seen and how they've seen this thing, it'll be an easier way for them to not become defensive and fighting us against the teaching that's being given, but to see that that is an explanation. Do you have another plausible explanation as an objective person? One again and all have said, no, I don't have. Wonderful it is to have that way of life, to be a way of life. And as we sing this song together tonight, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, will you come to Him? Because He's inviting you to come and be a part of His body as we stand together and sing. Tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Sit on the portal, he's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Never can.